Then he said to me, I created the loneliness, the voids, the groan. This groan will capture the full face of God and will consume the earth.
My soul longs for you. My soul longs for you. Nothing else will do.
Hello, and we welcome you as we are on the fourth part of the Groaning Creation series here on the Brenda Price Ministries podcast. Make sure you tune in for the next program podcast, because that will be our last in this series. God bless you as you listen as evangelist Brenda Price expounds on this subject.
I hope you've enjoyed this series. It is something special to me, and it was brought about during a time of fasting and prayer when the Lord revealed himself to me in a very special way. Well, we're talking about expectation and how that fuels how our imagination fuels expectations. You know, when you're expecting company, you look out the door when you hear voices, and maybe you look out the window when a car goes by and you fully expect to see your company, and you seem to be able to hear their voices, and the excited moment comes when you actually see and hear them and hug them. This is the state that we must live in. Expectation. We have to fuel our imagination with expectation and our expectation with imagination. We are fully to expect God to do what he said he's going to do. In this case, you're not waiting for someone else to change and be brought into the manifestation of the sons of God. You are watching yourself to make sure you are growing and clean. You look for more words from the Lord, more dreams, more visitations. You pray for the sick and believe for miracles. All this while staying close in close unity with him who has the power to make you into what you need to be. A woman wants to be perfect for her wedding. She would not want one spot on her gown. Let's tie all this together with some of the most important scriptures that I've been referring to. Let's read again, Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And verse 23, and not only they, but we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Well, this scripture expands from us waiting to the whole creation waiting. And it, the creation, is not a casual onlooker by any means, friends. It is in travail right now, for the great moment is at hand. It is groaning and travailing in pain together. And one of the meanings here for the word groaning is to be in straits. Have you ever been in straits? Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Well, that's where the world is now. No place to return to, and no foreseeable future with promise. There's no way out. Ask any woman who's ever been in deep labor what it's like, and I'm sure she'll tell you she wishes she could check out of her body if only for a few minutes, but it's impossible. She's in dire straits. There's no place to go. There's no way to step away from the situation. It has to be finished. It has to be completed. This is the possession of the believer, to possess the ability to bring forth. But it is also the position of the creation at this time. This is the position of the true repentant body of believers who never take their attention away from the task at hand. The disciples always viewed their time here as a temporary place with much work to do. They called themselves pilgrims on this earth, but they were busy pilgrims. The whole earth is groaning and travail together. Even creation has a DNA that tells it where it should be. And the creation was once so perfect. It was pristine, ready to be lived in. But like so many things we possess, it gets worn down in time. So we've worn down the purity of this earth with our sin. and people have degraded the earth. And the creation was a servant to us to give us a wonderful life, and we defiled it. But even the earth itself longs to be pure and holy again. That's why strange diseases are cropping up out of nowhere. That's why there are earthquakes in different places. That's why our nature has, why nature, period, has gone crazy. We can thank the sin nature of man for this outcome. We've corrupted this planet with our love for things and pleasures, and the earth is puking us up. The hurricanes, the volcanoes, the heat waves, the freak storms, these are all God's creation and rebellion against ungodliness. And these manifestations of the groaning of the earth desiring to cleanse itself, well, you might think these are just natural phenomena. If this is your position and present way of thinking, you're going to have problems understanding what you're going through. We always want to give another explanation other than what is needed. And we are the fallen creation, and we have, in the process, taken the earth down with us. That is why the creation still remains to retain its DNA. It still remembers when it was pristine, like our spirit retains the knowledge of a time we were in the fullness of the presence of God. And without its own opinion, the creation knows the will of God, and so it does not reason its way out like we do. This earth, this creation, is committed to God's original plan and the completion of that plan, his original intention when he created this earth. It will get even more apparent as time goes by. Places that are unusually hot may be cold. Places that are usually cold may be hot. Places that are usually wet may become dry and vice versa. The economies will drastically change, and even the appearance of the earth's continents will shift. This I know because he has spoken that to my heart. You're going to hear more about strange weather. And with all of man's devices, he still cannot rightfully predict weather. The enemy of all mankind knows that if he can cause the death of millions before they have a chance to hear the gospel, then he is all the more excited. The devil desires to cause pain to God, and what better way to do it than to hurt what God loves most, mankind, and cause that very being to reject the Father that loves him. I've lived in Florida most of my life, and I can tell you that we have never seen anything on the scale of the last few hurricane seasons. Scientists tell us that many new plant diseases have been recently discovered. Also, the animal kingdom is out of control. Animals are doing things that are totally out of their character. And it would seem that all God's order has been eliminated by man, and mankind has tried to take dominion and has made a mess of it. But don't worry, one day God will take back what is his, and it won't be long now. Are we his? Are you his? We're going to continue this thought with Romans 8, verse 23. It includes humans into the groaning scenario alongside of the creation. We also desire this mortality to put on immortality. We know the only way to complete the job is to have this transformation. We want our body to be adopted. We already have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's living in us. This is our first proof of his purchase. The Bible says until the purchase possession, that is us, that it's the down payment. The Spirit is the down payment of the purchased possession. We've been bought. We've been paid for. And we also desire this mortality to put on immortality. People have always longed and searched for a way to where they won't have to die. Some people have been frozen in time in vaults and so forth, thinking that when science comes forth, they'll be brought back. But no, that won't happen. We want our body to be adopted. We already have the first fruits of the Spirit. And in other words, in the spirit of a born-again, on-fire Christian is the presence of the living God. And he has now adopted us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But our bodies don't quit moving forward with wanting its own way. It still desires and craves things that weaken the resolve of the spirit. And the first fruits are the manifestation of things that have been accomplished when Jesus first came to make his abode with us. So the spirit fights the flesh, and the flesh fights the spirit. This causes the willing spirit to groan. And Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He concluded, oh, wretched man that I am. This is the groan. To reach our full potential, something must be done to the body. But what? Until we adopt, or rather are adopted, we must continue to put it to death. This takes us back to my opening statement. The devil wants to stop the groan, so he feeds it. He knows the human nature well. Satan is always coming up with new entertainment, new gadgets, new toys, new pleasures. He makes you feel that you must have that thing. And so we fall into the trap of pursuit. We pursue the unreachable dream. We sell our time into our business, our job, so that we can buy, buy, buy. And there is no end to it. We need a new house, so we sign up for another 30 years of hard labor. Meanwhile, we get deeper into debt so we can fill this house with things. Before you know it, your time is over. I remember when I was about 23, I was working as a nurse's aide in a local hospital. And there was a woman in the hospital having tests run. She and her husband were in their early 60s, and they had worked all their lives to raise their family, buy luxuries, and to keep up with the Joneses. And now their dream had come true. They had moved to Florida, bought a home. They were going to have 15, 20, 30 years of retirement and fun together. It had been less than a year that they had been retired when she ended up in the hospital. Her friends came in. They began to reason that perhaps there was nothing to it, and maybe she just had a small cough, and she began to feel lighter. I was in the room as they began to talk, and they were waiting for a positive outcome. But I was there when the doctor came in, and the results was terminal cancer. I left at that point. It was too real and too sad and too personal for me to remain there. Well, the devil knows how to feed that empty feeling, to stifle the small voice in you that cries out for something more. You chase a dream, and when you finally think you caught it, it's gone, or it leaves you unsatisfied. The devil can even feed you through the ministry, and you feel so important and needed. And meanwhile, you neglect the relationship with the Father that bought and paid for you. You delete the fact that only He can fit that place. Not ministry, not things, not people. And when you feel the void, don't go to the refrigerator, go to Him. When you feel despair, don't go to the bottle, go to Jesus. He causes us to groan, and only He can truly fill us. In verse 26 of Romans 8, we found that the Spirit, it was there to guide us in the groan. We mentioned this earlier, and you know, God will not leave us alone to fight and figure these things out. It's too hard for us. He has left us a friend, a comforter, a companion, a teacher, a guide. In this reference, He even volunteers to take over the groan if we will step out of the way. For this universal groan that is birthing forth the last and final product, the sons of God, it is too important to leave it in the hands of flawed and mortal people. And aren't you glad He sent the Spirit to help us? He will take on the job Himself as we enter into deep fellowship with the Lord. Through His suffering, He isn't working in us, and it's a joint effort, and not only us, but all creation is entering into it. We have to understand that if we try to feed our desires with the world, we will fall under condemnation. To reach out and fulfill our heart with others is spiritual adultery. When we realize, as we read Ezekiel, you find God talking to Israel as a whore who has sold herself and slept with other countries. She has committed whoredom with their gods and their riches. It gets very descriptive, and this is the way God feels when he tries to draw us through our longings, and we prostitute ourselves out to all the distractions that the devil so freely offers us. He will cause you to stop the groan by filling it with something other than what God has ordained. This act is adultery. It is evil because you are birthing your desires, and the move of God is not birth because the groan has stopped and you are distracted. These are serious days. And as verse 27 said in Romans 8, only the Holy Spirit can search the heart and know what is the mind of the Spirit. And he makes intercession according to the will of God. So to commit adultery by selling yourself for pleasure of this life is no different than bowing down before a stone god in place of Jehovah. We idolize the look on our neighbor's face as he sees our new possession, our new gadget. We idolize the look of admiration when others sigh, "Ah, if only I had that." We are full of idols, and they all stop the groan. We sit back comforted while Lazarus sits outside our gates, suffering with hunger and pain. One day we may find ourselves on the other side of luxury and comfort, desiring just a drop of what those sold-out ones have purchased with their holiness before the Lord. Abraham looked over at the rich man and said, "Remember that in your day you were comforted and Lazarus was tormented. Now he is comforted and you are in torment." This is the fate of all who pass by a world dying without food, water, a roof over their heads, and worst of all, without Jesus. Jesus said, "How can you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" You know, recently, a man in Idaho sold all his earthly goods to give to missionaries in Africa. Everything he had, everything he had worked for all those years, he sold it and gave it to missionaries. This is true. I met the man myself. Then supernaturally, the Lord began to do things like emeralds and diamonds and things like that begin to just suddenly appear. You know, you can believe that or you cannot believe that. I have met the man and I have seen the stones. And I've been there when I saw gold actually appear upon him as he was in intercession before the Lord. But whether you believe it or not, I believe that his price he paid, God decided to let him have a small taste of it. But along those lines, I recently read a retired gentleman who likewise sold all he had and sent his money to buy a Jesus film in the language of India. And the last report he had was that over 300,000 people had seen the film and many of them had made a decision for Christ. And it's not over yet. Can you imagine his reward when he gets to heaven? Or like the mother who ran two businesses and she saved enough money after raising her children alone to have them trained and sent to the mission field. She was their sole support. This is what the groan produces. And now many of you are running to your bank account and embracing it with a thought, "Please, Lord, don't ask me to do that." Well, I hope not. I hope you're not saying this. I hope you're saying, "Lord, pick me." If you knew the reward that comes with releasing all you own, you would always keep your heart and your wallet open to the voice of God. The whole creation groaneth to jointly experience a common calamity, to be in companionship with others groaning, pray audibly with grief, and travaileth in pain together until now. Even we ourselves groan within. That means we give ourselves wholly to waiting for the adoption. That waiting word means to expect fully, look for, and separate as pulling away from other activity. You see, our hopeful groaning has to be patient, because the word there, wait, means to fully expect. We can be patient because we fully expect the delivery of that which our tears and labor have purchased.
This podcast is a production of Brenda Price Ministries. If you enjoy today's podcast on the series, The Groaning Creation, we encourage you to get the book that goes along with it. That can be found at our website at www.brendaprice.weebly.com. That address again is www.brendaprice.weebly.com.